session we're going to be talking about just experiencing miscarriage and infertility. So I know there'll be others coming in, but let me just pray and ask God to be with us during our time together. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who is with us in a broken world. Lord, certainly the fact that we experience miscarriage and infertility is an evidence of that. That wasn't the way that the world was designed to be under your perfect creation. But Lord, we come to you with thankful hearts that in the midst of brokenness, you've sent a Redeemer. And that because of that Redeemer, we don't have to live broken lives. There can be hope and joy and peace. And we can look forward to a time when we get to live in an unbroken environment forever and ever. Lord, we come thanking you and praising you, and we come just asking that during this session that you will just remind us of who you are and that we will be drawn to you and that we will adore you even more. Thank you. Amen. All right, let me begin with the stories of two women. They may be similar to the story for some of you in here, I don't know, or maybe somebody that you know and love. The first one is a story about miscarriage. Let me read that to you. I found out on my birthday that I get to be a mommy. We bought all of our closest friends and families Binkies to tell them the good news. I was never nauseous, but my breasts were so tender I couldn't wear an average bra, and I ate everything in sight. I thought this meant a perfectly easy and enjoyable pregnancy. But at 9 weeks, I began cramping badly, and my pregnancy ended in miscarriage. Everyone tried to be helpful. It wasn't your time. Just try again. Let your body heal. You guys are just making a name in your careers. Put this off for 5 years. My cousin and best friend found out that they were pregnant around the time I did. My best friend is about to have a healthy baby boy, and my cousin is having a third daughter. I'm supposed to be in their delivery rooms, and I resent them. I don't want pictures of their bumps and ultrasounds. I don't want to pick out baby names. I don't want to be a godmother. I want to be a mommy, and I want my husband to be a daddy. Now let me give you another one. This one is for a lady that struggled with infertility. My husband and I married in our early 20s. For the first 2 years of marriage, I was on birth control, but we knew we eventually wanted a big family. When I was 24, I had my appendix removed, and after skipping a few birth control pills while in the hospital due to my surgery, I decided to stay off the pill entirely. For the next 2 years, we had no happy accidents. And in fact, my periods became quite painful. I thought it might be time to check in with my gynecologist. I had a sinking feeling that something wasn't right. My gynecologist told me it was normal to have terrible periods and painful ovulation, that I had a low pain tolerance, and that I was overreacting. She asked to see me again in 6 months and told me not to worry, that I would be pregnant in no time. I also got a lecture on how stress and anxiety could hinder pregnancy. She told me to just relax. For the next 6 months, my husband and I tried really hard to get pregnant. I peed on every ovulation predictor stick I could find. I charted my basal body temperature and noted my cervical mucus. I slightly elevated my hips for at least an hour post-coitus. And of course, we made sure not to stress out. I did not get pregnant, and my periods were getting worse. I went to my gynecologist's office 6 months later and said I wanted a referral for a reproductive endocrinologist. I was officially worried. What if we could never have kids? We didn't know anyone else at the time going through infertility. My husband came from a large family, so I was sure our trouble conceiving was my fault. I felt guilty and scared. All of a sudden, something that I took for granted all this time was so uncertain. All around me, friends and family members were getting pregnant, some with their second and third babies. People kept asking us casually in social situations the heartbreaking question, "So when are you guys going to have a baby?" Come on, what are you waiting for? I remember sitting in the reproductive endocrinologist's office with my husband for our first appointment. I felt physically ill. I felt like a failure for not being able to do what so many women do effortlessly. I felt alone. I felt broken. What if I couldn't be fixed? That day was the start of a new era in our life. Infertility treatments and all that comes with it. My reproductive endocrinologist's office became my home away from home. In the span of 6 years, I've had 3 IUIs, 3 IVFs, and 34 embryos tested, and I suffered 4 miscarriages. In an ideal world, making a baby is a decision between 2 consenting adults. Sex is meant to be an intimate and tender occurrence. When you struggle with infertility, making a baby is not a private affair anymore. It is a stressful, scientific experience now shared with receptionists, doctors, nurses, drug companies, and ultrasound technicians. For years, my life consisted of daily hormone injections and vaginal ultrasounds, speaking with surgeons and geneticists, and fighting with insurance companies. Our whole life became a cycle of waiting. We waited to get approval from our insurance company to proceed with our IUI or IVF procedures. We waited for my medications to arrive. While going through a medicated cycle, I waited every morning in the reproductive endocrinologist's office to get monitored. I waited that afternoon for the phone call to see what medications I had to use that night based on my test results that morning. I anxiously awaited my next appointment to see how I was responding to the medications and see if I could go through with the procedure. It's difficult to describe to the fertile world what infertility feels like and the profound and lasting impact that it has on your life. I've been struggling with infertility for over a decade, and I work as an infertility counselor and advocate. Yet I still have trouble putting into words the pain and loss that struggling to conceive has brought to my family. A friend of mine from the infertility community described infertility perfectly in 2 words: soul crushing. And I think that is a good description of what it's like to experience infertility and miscarriage. I think that's an appropriate term. This is not the way things were meant to be. And if you're a woman who has or is experiencing either infertility or miscarriage, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry that we have to have a session like this. I'm sorry for the heartache that you have suffered and perhaps still are suffering. I'm sorry that you've had people make insensitive comments to you. I'm sorry that it's felt like you're alone and there's no one else who understands you. I'm sorry that your laughter has turned into mourning. My desire is that as we proceed, you'll be connected to the comfort, the hope, and the help that God provides. And that if you're a woman who is the friend of a woman who's experiencing this, that you'll be better able to minister to your friend who is hurting deeply. God does have some significant things to say to all who hurt, and I want to just spend some time on unpacking that. We want to press into God and gain a more complete and deeper picture of the truth that God has on this subject, because Jesus said that the truth will set you free. And we want to welcome that truth. We want to learn to cry out to God, not run from Him. 2 Corinthians tells us that God is the God of all comfort. So we want to turn to Him, not some kind of fake knockoff as we study this, because only He is able to turn darkness into light. Miscarriage and infertility were not part of God's original plan. When God put Adam and Eve in the garden, He told them, "Be fruitful and multiply." God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Miscarriage and death were never part of God's original plan. What they are is cruel indicators that we live in a broken world. and that we're no longer functioning according to God's original design. We were designed